वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 84 एंटाइटल्ड द सेजेस टीचिंग्स एट कुरुक्षेत्र टेक्स्ट 10 एंड 11
किम स्वल्प तपसाम नृणाम अर्चयाम देवा चक्षुषाम दर्शन स्पर्शन प्रश्न प्रवा पादर्चन आदिकम् किं स्वल्प तपसाम नृणाम अर्चयाम देव चक्षुषाम दर्शन स्पर्शन प्रश्न प्रवा पदार्चनादिकम् किं स्वल्प तपसाम नृणाम अर्चायाम देव चक्षुषाम दर्शन स्पर्शन प्रश्न प्रवापादार्चनादिकम् किं स्वल्प तपसाम नृणाम अर्चायाम देव चक्षुषाम दर्शन स्पर्शन प्रश्न प्रभापादाचनादिकम्
पदाचनादिकम् लेडीज
किं स्वल्प तपसाम नृणाम अर्चयाम देव चक्षुषाम दर्शन परस्पर प्रश्न प्रवापादाचनादिकम्
किम वेदा स्वल्प वेरी मीगर तपसाम हुज ऑस्टेरिटीज नृणाम फॉर ह्यूमन बीइंग्स अर्चयाम इन द डीटी इन द टेम्पल देव गॉड चक्षुषाम हुज परसेप्शन दर्शन सीइंग स्पर्शन टचिंग प्रश्न आस्किंग क्वेश्चंस प्रवा बोइंग डाउन पादार्चना वर्शिपिंग द फीट आदिकम एंड सोन ट्रांसलेशन हाउ इज इट दैट पीपल हु आर नॉट वेरी ऑस्टियर एंड हु रिकग्नाइज गॉड ओनली इन हिज डेडी फॉर्म इन द टेम्पल कैन नाउ सी यू टच यू इंक्वायर फ्रॉम यू बाव डाउन टू यू worship your feet and serve you in other ways.
Nahi ammayani tirthani na deva mrichachila maya te punanti urukalena darsha deva sadavaha.
Translation. Mere bodies of water are not the real sacred places of pilgrimage, nor are mere images of earth and stone the true worshipable deities. These purify only one only after a long time, but saintly sages purify one immediately upon being seen. Purport. Because the personality of Godhead is absolute, the Supreme Spirit, any representation of Him, whether manifested in stone, paint, sound, or any other authorized medium, is non-different from His original form in the topmost spiritual planet, Golok Vrindavan. But ordinary demigods are not absolute, being infinitesimal spirit souls, and thus representations of the demigods are not identical with them. Worship of the demigods or ritual bathing in a sanctified place gives only a limited benefit to those who lack transcendental faith in the Supreme Lord. On the other hand, great Vaishnava saints like Vyasadeva, Narada and the four Kumars are always absorbed in Krishna consciousness, and thus they are veritable moving tirthas, places of pilgrimage. Even a moment's association with them, especially by hearing their glorification of the Lord, can deliver one from all material entanglement. As King Yudhishthir has said to Vidura, Bhavad vidha bhagavatas tirtha bhutah swayam vibho tirthi kurvanti tirthani swantasthena gadabhrita. My Lord, devotees like your good self are verily holy places personified. Because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart, you turn all places into places of pilgrimage. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.13.10.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Vadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Shahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
How is it possible that those who are not very austere and who recognize God only in His deity form in the temple can now see you, touch you, inquire from you, bow down to you, worship your feet and serve you in other ways? The setting is at Kurukshetra, this very, very holy place. It's a very special place in so many ways. In this regard, as what we are reading now of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's a place where it's a sangam. It's one of the most beautiful sangams which ever took place in the world. The sangam of the greatest souls in this planet, coming from Sri Dwarka Dham, Sri Mathura Dham, Sri Vrindavan Dham. These are the most worshipful places for all living entities. where Krishna resided himself for several years and sanctified that place by his holy presence. And he had so many devotees in each of these places. How many devotees he had in Braj? How many devotees he had in Sri Mathura Dham? And how many devotees he had at Dwarka? All those devotees actually came together at the Surya Grahana time at Kurukshetra. And therefore in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are several chapters about Kurukshetra now. The queens are meeting and now this chapter is there. So all the who's who of the Krishna Leela actually are there at Kurukshetra. Everybody who is important has come. So it's a very special place. And the when great souls meet, it's very interesting and very informative, very educative to see what they do, how they do, how they conduct themselves, what they talk, how they eat, what is the behavior. So it's because the world learns from the great souls. That's it, always been the culture of the world. Of course, whoever the people think is great, they learn from them. That's another story. But still, people learn from great souls. And here, the greatest souls have gathered. In this setting in which we are reading today, Krishna is addressing himself. He's talking. We have just finished the section where Draupadi meets the queens of Dwarka and they all exchange various thoughts about how did you marry Krishna and how did you marry Krishna and what happened and like that. So they are all inquiring and then learning, oh really, oh, like that. And now as this is going on, in another tent, another big gathering, some very special, illustrious souls are just entering the arena where Krishna is seated with his elder brother Balaramji. So when you hear of the people who are there, it's very astounding, the whole galaxy of people who are there. So even the names are purifying. So Dvapayan Vyas. If he alone comes anywhere, that in itself is a very special thing. Vyas. When he walks into any place, in any arena, any kingdom, he's like, oh, mercy, Vyas has come. It's an event. It's an event which has got tremendous significance. What he will say, what he will do is important. But he's not alone. He comes with Narad, his Guru Maharaj. Then there is Chivanamuni, Devala, Asita, these sages whom Krishna talks about in the Gita. Asya Devala, very worshipable. Vishwamitra Muni, this great sage. Shatananda, I have not heard his name before, sorry. But Bharadvaj Rishi, the sage of glory from the Ramayana time, living at close to Chitrakoot. Then there is Gautam Rishi, this great celebrity, you know, who brought Mother Gautami, that is Godavari, to this planet. Right? Then the great Saktavesh Avatar Parashuram. Imagine when he walks into any place, what must be the aura of his presence? Parashuram, the great. How much does he walk? This, the most powerful warrior ever born on the planet. When he walks in the arena, and his disciples, he's not alone. He's walking with his entourage. Vasishtha Rishi, the guru of Ram. Then Bhrigu, Pulastya, Kashyapa, Atri, Markandeya, Brihaspati, the four Kumaras, Agastya. So, you know, it must be a very scene to behold, to have all these people coming together, right? It's like sitting in the temple and, you know, you find Prabhupada's disciples, all of them coming together in one place or something like that, something you have to compare, some comparison has to be there. You know, like illustrious sannyasis with dandadharis, celebrities and all, like that. So, it is a very special event. What will happen now? How will they conduct when these great souls come? What will happen? What is the cultural exchange going to take place now? What will be the interaction? Very beautiful. Very important to see. Now, interesting enough, Krishna is the person who speaks first. And he takes the lead. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. So, as soon as they come, now, we have to remember Krishna, he is playing the role of a perfected human being.
the ideal human being. He is not playing the role of God here. Of course, they are all coming to meet him. They are not coming for bathing in the Surya Grahan time. They are not. These people are not coming for that. They can bathe in any part of the universe and get equally purified. They don't have to come to Earth planet to get purified. These great souls are not come for bathing. They can bathe wherever they want, by just by thinking about it. So that's not the purpose of bathing, coming to that place. They all come with a specific purpose of meeting the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who they all adore, worship and surrender in their hearts. And they all want to see Him, be with Him and hear Him. But before even they can speak, Krishna takes the lead to speak. And says, now our lives are indeed successful. Krishna is responding by saying, now we are happy, now we are very successful. Hamara jivan sarthak ho gaya. Krishna is saying, my life is successful, my dear brother's life is successful, all the people who are here are successful, because now we are seeing somebody like you all who are coming here. And now we have obtained life's ultimate goal, the audience of great yoga masters. Right? So, this is very beautiful. Because even if you think of the glory of each of these persons, before we talk about Krishna's glory, now who are the people who accept Krishna as worshipable? It's a very small but very interesting episode I'd like to talk about. Very instructive. One of our Prabhupada's veteran disciples has been Hayagriva Maharaj, Valley Haworth, who was the first person to see Prabhupada as he walked down 26 Second Avenue, right? Prabhupada walking in one direction, Valley Haworth then was walking down in the other direction. Then he spotted him. They met in the middle of the road. They exchanged some few words of introduction, and Prabhupada invited him to come in the evening. He later became Hayagriva. Now, his life history is very interesting, because after having served Prabhupada in some fantastically incredible, wonderful ways, he had a mishap in spiritual life, which took him to a completely different direction than he would have probably wanted to be in. And he was totally off for a long time. And then, having served Prabhupada with such love, and Prabhupada having shed tears of his love for his disciple, after a certain amount of time, he was again brought back in the association of Krishna's devotees in New Vrindavan. And then when he was discovered back, he was already a person who was laden with widespread fourth grade cancer, which had made his body in such a pathetically painful situation. There was agonizing pain all over his body, and he was not able to even turn or move, or he had to be assisted even to the doing his routine work, his physical work. And he's on his, what we can call as, deathbed now. And Radhanath Swami Maharaj comes to see him in New Vrindavan. And he's speaking words of wisdom now. When a dying man speaks, it's important to hear him. When we are alive and we are in full, we can speak so many things and to impress people. But when you are on your deathbed, you're not trying to impress anybody, because your body is completely finished. You know, there's nothing there. So he said that once upon a time I used to think, this is Hayagriva Maharaj's words, I'm paraphrasing. Once upon a time I used to think that I am the greatest man. I have done so much, I can do so much. I was the first one to meet Prabhupada, and I served him so wonderfully and did so many things. And I was really sort of thinking I'm a sort of, what do you call it, a big guy, a big person. But now it is proved that I am completely helpless. I have nothing to depend upon. In this situation, I depend only on Krishna. Then he asks a question, a rhetoric question. Is Krishna really there? Is he really God? And he answered his own question.
if Krishna is not God, then all the saints are wrong. All the acharyas are big liars. All the scriptures are a complete hoax. Everything, all the verses written are complete bogus. Then he asks this question again. Is this possible? He said himself, no. The acharyas are not liars. The scriptures are not hoax. The verses which glorify Krishna, all of them saying Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is not untrue. That is the ultimate truth of life. Yes, so these people are attesting that fact. Parashuram has come here to attest this fact that Krishna is most worshipable. Vyasadeva has come to this place to attest this, endorse this fact that Krishna is most worshipable. Gautama Rishi is saying the same thing. Narad Muni is saying the same thing, right? So, if there is any doubt in anyone's mind, even for a fraction of a second, that is Krishna the Supreme? Am I in the right place? Am I doing the right thing? Am I with the right people? Am I following this, a good, bona fide path of authorized nature? Then this verse is endorsement. At least it is endorsement for me. On a personal level, that if these people all say that Krishna is God, he must be God. And there cannot be not any more opinion on that, because who are the biggest authorities than them in the planet? These are Vedic celebrities. We have our worldly celebrities who are, as Prabhupada said, are like at best glowworms, or even more graphically, foaming bubbles. What is a foaming bubble? You sit on a seashore, right, and you just find the wave comes and a few 100,000 bubbles are formed, and when the wave goes back, and bubbles stay for a while because the water underneath has gone away, so they are just sitting on the sand. But how much time they can sit on the sand? They have no sustenance to support them, and put, you see all the bubbles, they just burst into, they never existed, they were never there. Even the presence which is so flickering was practically an illusion. So that's the nature of the celebrities of this world, whom the world in the world feels, oh, if he's doing this, it must be the right thing. These are Vedic celebrities. What Narad does, what Vyas does. Now what is Vyas? The person's intelligence, incredible intelligence. 10 billion verses. Now who can compose 10 billion verses? You ask any Sanskrit scholar to, you know, he may, you know, write some Sanskrit poetry or, you know, speak some Sanskrit. But verses, 10 billion, nobody has matched this feat in the creation. That's his brilliance. That's his brain. Of course, it's not a material brain like our brain made of neurons and whatever. This is a transcendental brain. He's a transcendental Satchitananda body, because he is Chiranjeevi person. He's no death. He's a deathless person. So when he writes 10 billion verses, right, and all of, and when he concludes out of his vast knowledge, what is the level of his knowledge? What is his genius? What is his IQ? To write 10 billion verses. Can anyone match that IQ of 10 billion verses? No. When he says, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, that's it. There's no debate necessary. No conflict. Nothing is necessary. He's saying Krishna is God. Finished. That's it. When Narad says that Krishna is God, so we should be feeling very happy when we hear this. That how is it that we got connection with Krishna? How is it we got discussion with this greatest person? Agastya Rishi. What is Agastya Rishi? Each one's glory is infinite practically. There can be stories and stories about what they did in this world. Agastya Rishi is a person who gave the arrow to Lord Ramachandra to kill Ravana. Even God takes arrows from Agastya Rishi to kill. That is his glory.
Agastya Hriday, the name of the weapon which Ram used. Powerful weapon, with the power of Sumeru mountain and Agni in the front. Right? Imagine an arrow as heavy as Sumeru. Arrow is, you know, these children are boom, boom, boom. Just go like that, you know. Zzz, zzz. The arrow as heavy as Mount Sumeru. Mount Sumeru is millions of times heavier than Mount Everest and the Himalayas put together. That's the power on one arrow. Sumeru is mounting on that arrow. And when it goes at, it doesn't just, it just goes at what speed? Of Vayu. And Agni in the front. Personified God. Ravan. That weapon was given by Agastya Rishi. What is this power? There was another story we heard years back. I think there was a story about Agastya sitting in a pangat for eating prasadam with great sages or something. And then he didn't, in the last eating water, right? After eating food, he didn't get his water. Every one of the sages got up. So Krishna, I'll take care of your thirst, don't worry. So when it was raining Govardhan, on the top of Govardhan, with all this billions and trillions of gallons from the sky, right? Krishna just tilted the Govardhan little bit like this. And Agastya was sitting there drinking that water. Now we drink water also. 2 liters, people say the more the better. I don't know what is real good. 3 liters. He was drinking the water coming from Govardhan Hill. That is his power. He once drank the whole ocean, right? One of the demons was heading in the ocean. He could drink an ocean of water. That is Agastya Rishi. And he is saying Krishna is God. He is worshipping Krishna. Markandeya Rishi, right? What is his life of Markandeya Rishi? He's a man who probably lived the longest life. You know, even in the partial devastation, when partial pralaya takes place after half the day of Brahma is over, when 7 manus are done, there's a partial pralaya which goes on from Rasatal, Patal, it goes up, Bhutol, Bhulok, Bhuvarlok, boom, 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 Swargalok also finished. Only Janalok, Tapalok and higher are remaining. That's partial pralaya. And Markandeya Rishi is still living through all that. Right? That is his glory. Such a long, long, incredibly long life. Saint Krishna is God. So now, having understood this part of our discussion, that the Vedic celebrities who are our heroes, Markandeya is our hero, Vyasa is obviously our hero, Narad Muni is definitely our hero. Now when these souls are meeting Krishna, now what is Krishna responding? Now that is important, as we said before, right? Now he is saying, this is even more amazing what Krishna does. He is saying that actually, he is not saying that, okay, you have come to meet me, I am the most worshipable person, thank you for coming here, I bless you all. He is turning the whole table around and saying, it is all of you who are worshipable. Everyone has bowed down to you, serve you, inquire from you, ask questions to you, and serve you many ways. He is not saying all of you should bow down to me. Of course, in Gita he did say that, because there he is playing a different role. But here, he's saying, you all are worshipable. How wonderful. Let us not just think that Krishna is just doing this because he has to show an example. We always think that Krishna is Acharya. He's Akhila Jagat Guru. So he's an example so that everyone should follow. So that if he thinks these people are worshipable, then you know they are worshipable. It is Krishna's very natural behavior. He's not just doing it because he has to set an example for the world to see. That may be a side consideration in Krishna's mind. But it's Krishna's just nature to be humble in front of great sages. Because he doesn't think that he is God himself. Like a great guru, like Prabhupada never thinks I am guru of the whole world, I am Jagat Guru. When somebody comes, a great soul comes, he'll bow down to him. In fact, Prabhupada said we should be bowed down even to the Mayavadi sannyasis. Once we heard Prabhupada was walking through Vrindavan, and there was a, non-Vaishnava sannyasi walking down the road, and nobody offered obeisances to him. Prabhupada said, "You should fast today, all of you. You should fast today. Why didn't you bow down to this Swami?" So even if it's a non-Vaishnava Swami, even that person is worthy of respect in the way of we bowing down our heads at his lotus feet. Right? So, but Prabhupada never thought that, "Oh, I am Jagat Guru, I am Guru of the whole world, and these great souls, Mr. Ford, etc., are my disciples." No. He was so humble himself. So even Krishna, his nature is to be humble. He is bowing down to them, washing their feet, putting it on his head. It is not a show, it's not a drama. Krishna is not just putting up a particular type of behavioral pattern to impress the world. If I am doing this, all of you should do this also. No, that may be there, but that's his very nature, to be humble in front of the great sages. Right? So this is very important to understand. That if everyone values Krishna so much, the people who are so much valuable in this world, they're valuing Krishna so much. Then what does Krishna value? Krishna values his devotees. So if God values his devotees, how much should we value his devotees? Ultimately, what is Krishna consciousness? To value those things which Krishna values. To love those things which Krishna loves. We may love a frog, we may love tortoises, and we may love camels. But if Krishna loves the cow, then that is the most lovable animal. That's it, as simple as that. There are so many instruments in the world which are great. But if Krishna has chosen the flute, there's no greater instrument in the world than the flute. Because it is Krishna. God plays this. There are so many professions in this world. Lawyers, doctors, carpenters, cobblers, blah blah. But if God becomes a agriculturist, then that must be the greatest profession in the world to be in. not IT consultant. No. The world may say, "Oh, IT. Oh, Silicon Valley. You are in the valley, Baba. You are in the valley. You are deep down into the valley. And valley not made of flowers and gems. Valley made of silicon." Stupid valley. Nothing there. There's silicon all around you. It's not a valley of some nice flowing water, waterfalls. Valley made of silicon. So if God plays the role of an agriculturist, if God, Balramji, carries a hull and shows that this is the most important thing in the world, plowing the earth, and Krishna is herding the cows, right? Then this is most important for the world to understand that there is the world's sustenance depends on profession of agriculture and cow protection. Because even though Krishna is a Kshatriya family, his greatest joy was not fighting with Salva and Shishupal and shooting arrows at Mathura. His joy was to herd the cows. That was his natural thing he did. But he had to play a role of shooting arrows when, Kala Yavan attacked and so many people attacked. He had to do that. But given the choice, Krishna, what do you like to shoot, arrows or, herd the cows? He said, second one. I like cows. I am Gopal. I like to be called as Gopal. So that must be the greatest thing to do, to take care of cows, because Krishna did it. That's it. So if the world can simply understand, all of us as devotees can understand first, that if Krishna loves something, then I should also cultivate love for that, even if I have it or not. If the best drink in the world is, what is the best drink in the world? Somebody said this drink, this juice, that juice. But if Krishna loves the milk, it must be the best thing to drink. Right? That's it. So Krishna sends, God sets the benchmark for everything around. He is the benchmark for everything. There is no higher standard. There is no, we call ISO or, 14,001 or all these different things. ISO 9,000, 5,000, 6,000, 2,000, whatever ISO. What Krishna sets is ISO. The world has to follow.
That's it. Krishna is the absolute truth. So he sets absolute standards in whatever he does. And there cannot be anything higher than that. If he worships his devotees, then we better worship his devotees as well. And Krishna is called as Bandhan Priya Thakur. Very beautiful name. Very, very sweet name of Krishna. Bandhan Priya Thakur. Thakur means God. That God who loves those people who are in Bandhan with him. Bandhan means relationship. Who are in a bond of relationship with him. Those who are in his bond, come in his bondage of this relation with him, they become very priya to him. Right? So, this is actually a special name for Lord Jagannath, in fact. We just reminded today that Jagannath Swami today, at some time today, he will ride back from Gundicha and go back to his original palace. It is a return Rath Yatra today. So remembering that glorious event, Bandhan Priya Thakur will go back from Vrindavan to Dwarka today. Right? We're talking about something on those lines today. But he goes back today after having enjoyed his rasas at Vrindavan with his dear devotees. He'll go back for his official duty as Jagannath Swami in Sri Mandir with Lakshmiji. Right? So, how much Krishna loves his devotees is a very, very deep meditation which every devotee will have to make so that we can really genuinely cultivate love, respect for his devotees as well. Because if we don't do that, we will not be able to get into a bandhan with Krishna. We won't be able to bond with Krishna no matter what else we do. We do not create first a relationship or a bond with those people whom he loves. Because we have to go through people whom he loves. As simple as that. To Satyaraj Khan, Mahaprabhu is saying something so wonderful. Revolutionary statement. When I heard that, when I think about it, it's amazing. I said, even in a dog in your village is dear to me. Now a dog, Mahaprabhu is saying the word dog because, you know, dog is like the worst animal. In Prabhupada's, I do not want to say this, the benchmark is set by Prabhupada, not by us. You must say, oh, no, there is somebody worse than the dog also. But Prabhupada says that the dog is the worst animal. So the people who are eat dogs are called as the worst category of human beings, they call us. So they are not frog eaters, not fish eaters, but dog eaters are considered like a special category of low class people, the chandalas, right? So that's what Mahaprabhu talking about the dog. Very, very low class, low caste animal. But even the dog, who is otherwise a wretched animal as per Vedic standards, if he is in the village of my pure devotee Satyaraj Khan, then even that dog is dear to me because he hails from the village. So you say, where is this dog from? He's not Tata Birla's pet dog. He's a dog of my dear devotee. That's why that dog is very dear to me. So how much Krishna expands the circle of his love. If someone just connected to his dear devotee in his family, his cousin, you know, his neighborhood, somebody born in Calcutta, he is special because it is the place of Prabhupada's birth. Right? When Mahaprabhu went to Kumarhatta, he took the dust of that feet on his head and carried a potli of dust because of the birthplace of Ishwarapuri. And he would have a bite of that every day. The land of the birth of his spiritual master. So in this way, we have to really ruminate how we can develop higher and higher levels of respect, love,
and desire to serve Krishna's dear devotees. That is the true way to approach Krishna. In fact, that is the only way to approach Krishna. There is no other way as far as Vaishnava teachings are concerned. We are only chanting Hare Krishna mantra so that we have the adhikar so we can serve Krishna's devotees. That's the actual purpose of chanting Hare Krishna mantra. Because chanting Hare Krishna gives you a type of adhikar, a spiritual potency, a type of right attitude, and the right bhavana. So we can realize, how can I serve you? That's what the mantra is all about, right? So the Mahamantra actually is giving you access to a type of consciousness which is very essential to serve Krishna's devotees. That's the purpose of the Mahamantra. It is not an end in itself, but it is a means to access a type of consciousness which is necessary, a type of humility which is necessary, type of attitude of softness, politeness, courtesy and love and reverence towards which is necessary to serve Krishna's dear devotees who are connected with Bandhan Priya Thakur. So we also can get into some Bandhan with him and then hopefully become Priya to him also. Right? So that's what the purpose of the Mahamantra is in fact. So we sometimes miss this focus. We chant because we have to finish our rounds. Most of us chant, including myself, we chant because it's a vow. It's a vow. And we have to maintain our vow. So we chant 16 rounds. Because we are scared. We are fearful. If I don't chant my rounds, something really serious will happen to my spiritual life. However, that being a good paradigm to start with, the real paradigm to work on is whether it is really allowing me to understand that the holy name actually is a means of developing reverence towards Krishna's devotees. That's why, along with the chanting Hare Krishna mantra, we have to cultivate this humility as well. It is something like in Ayurvedic medicine, the Mahamantra is Maha Aushadhi, right? Eniche Aushadhi Maya Nashibaro Lagi, right? Thakur Bhakti Vinod sings this nice bhajan, that there is no higher medicine in the world for the disease of the soul of Bhavaroga, which brings you the symptom. What is the symptom of Bhavaroga? Forgetfulness of Krishna. That's a major symptom of Bhavaroga, right? When you take this medicine of the holy name, it again revives back your memory of whom you have forgotten for millions of lifetimes. Oh, I don't belong to this place. Oh, this is not the real world I belong to. I belong to Krishna, right? He is my real father and mother. What am I doing over here? So that revival of our lost memory of the soul who has been dunked down into a state of oblivion for millions of lifetimes in a sojourn of finding independent pleasure away from Krishna, that sojourn ends when his memory is revived back. However, with every Ayurvedic medicine, there is something called as anupan. That means you take that along with it, so that medicine really reaches the place where it's supposed to reach. In all sciences, then in allopathic science also, we have something like that. It's called a carrier molecule. Like you have cancer treatment done. The cancer is, of course, cancer is not in all parts of the body. Cancer is, say, in the lungs. So you take a chemotherapeutic drug and you add a carrier molecule to that. And it's like a targeted missile. So that molecule has got sort of attraction towards lung tissue. So you put it there, and so when the most of the medicine will reach the lung rather than just going here and there where it is not required. So a carrier molecule. Similarly, for the holy name to act, there has to be anupan, like in Ayurveda, which makes the holy name more effective in penetrating the layers of our covered over consciousness, because it is covered consciousness is so deep. Layers and layers of dust is there on the mirror of the mind. So the holy name has to reach right down and actually destroy. The target of the holy name is to destroy the false ego. That is the target, to destroy the false ego. And then when false ego is eliminated, then the real ego element is manifest. Oh,
jivar swarup hoy krishna ra nitya das then we awaken to our actual reality that I am krishna's servant so that that reality is to arise so the anupan is supposed to be humble service attitude the humble service attitude when coupled with the holy name makes the holy name extremely powerful to destroy all anarthas without humble service attitude the holy name can really really actually speaking water the weeds of the anarthas and therefore the holy name can even destroy spiritual bhaktilata beej because weapons are very powerful if the weapons are shot in the wrong direction it can kill the wrong thing and we talk of brahmastra and all these big missiles you know so the holy name is extremely powerful but if you do not couple up with the right attitudes it can water the roots of false ego and then it can become the cause of a devotee's fall down instead of raising the devotee up elevation to krishna consciousness it can become a source of destruction so we need to understand that to cultivate this humility for krishna's devotees as krishna is doing here krishna is acting very humble very very humble and we will see as we go further krishna is going to glorify his devotees even more right as you go further he will say various nice things which we heard from Thakur Narottam also he said the ganga can be you know useful for in this verse himself he says right you can purify yourself by bathing in the ganga for a long time it takes a long time but darshana pavitra karo eto margon just by seeing you my dear great souls who are coming here we are purified so krishna acting so humble therefore the hallmark actually of what makes a devotee truly glorious in krishna's eyes not in the world's eyes not in the society's eyes or not in his peers' eyes what makes a person truly glorious in krishna's eyes is when he shines with the diamond of humility when that diamond manifests in his heart then krishna starts noticing him because that diamond is something which krishna is attracted to every other so called diamond every other abhushana which may be there is austere and is knowledgeable and simple these are good things but they all should ultimately build up to a level where the diamond of humility manifests in the heart and then krishna notices that yeah I like that diamond and then he picks you up right and we are reaching this conclusion because we are seeing this is the standard which krishna himself is setting if he is worshiping these great souls even though he is the god of all gods these are all please remember these are all infinitesimal souls in one sense agastya rishi is not god he is a jivatma ultimately even though he is a great sage but here when the sun starts worshiping the sun ray or molecule of the sun that's fantastic right and this powerful sun worships just a molecule of the sun ray how wonderful is that so here the sun the cause of all causes from whose body millions and billions of planets not planets universes emerge from his remote expansion as Mahavishnu Mahavishnu is a remote manifestation of Krishna that person is so powerful that he manifests universes from his body like that and whose one blink of the eye is equal to 1/8/15th of a second what the power of such a person and 8/15th of a second of Mahavishnu is equal to 311 trillion years of Brahma right if 10 trillion years is equal to one lifetime of Brahma is equal to one nimesh of Mahavishnu that's the god we're talking about when that god and his origin Krishna when he thinks that these people are more worshipable than anybody else in the world that's something we should really take serious notice about we can't fool around with this standard this is the god who even Mahavishnu adores right or talk about the great sages even Mahavishnu says oh namaste like that there is a story like that so let's take deep cognizance of these beautiful verses learn our deep lessons from these holy verses also what Shukdev Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit are talking about. And in our hearts create more reverence, not only for Krishna, because he deserves all reverence and love and worship. He is the most available, is Aradhya Bhagavan Brajeshtanayas, the supremely Aradhya. But Krishna is also pointing, said, okay, you worship me, but do not forget, worship also these great souls, these great devotees of mine. They are as glorious as me. Worship them. If you worship them and me as well, then you are part of my entourage. Otherwise, you will be in this material world for punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam for a long, long time. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions, any comments? Thank you, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.